All right. Welcome to This and That Podcasting Podcast. I'm Alex Bauer here with my best friend, Kyle Dobus. We are live from Kyle's house. This is season one, episode 21. Today is April 27th. We are doing our last episode of the first season, and we will bring you the second season sometime in August. We are going to review our week and a half, because we came to you about a whole Monday and ago,
a week and a half ago or so.
It's
been a little bit of a break.
Just a little bit of break for us, and then got together and wanted to do it live for y'all from one location. That way we could just react to each other pretty quickly. Honestly, we got some entertainment with talking about the NHL and NBA playoffs going on right now. Obviously, gonna react to some NFL drafts, right, Kyle, with our fantasy and
pretty much. We were talked about doing basically a mock draft, but we decided we'll just wait off and do those beginning of next year for the next season. We'll probably do a couple of those before the even fantasy season starts.
And then with this big old break with Gambling Men, we're just gonna bring y'all some good futures to bet on. You know, look at a few futures. You know, we can. I got one same game parlay, but that game's taking place today. And then other than that, it's just a bunch of futures, and we'll bring it on home with some good news.
Yeah.
All right. Week in review. I am giving myself a 1 out of 5 right now.
1 out of 5.
I know it's been more than a week, and we've had a lot of NHL playoff games to take over, really, our actual top five games. The one game that I'm giving myself credit for is the Calgary Flames-Vegas Golden Knights game. I pretty much thought this would be a top five game going into that week that we were talking, and it ended up being there, being a 5-4 game going into shootouts, and the Calgary Flames win. I picked Calgary to win the game, so I've picked right. And the player of the game, I'm giving it to Dustin Wolf, the Calgary Flames goalie, getting 42 saves in this game. That's crazy.
It's been a fun series so far. It's actually one of my upsets was Minnesota actually taking a lot of them so far, which I didn't expect. I expected Vegas to kind of take this series a little bit more easier. And it's been a good series so far with Vegas and Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. You know, with them playing each other, for sure. Minnesota has definitely been a big surprise for Vegas Golden Knights and fans everywhere. I mean, they've gotten some good goals and some good wins against the Golden Knights.
Yeah. Man, it's definitely been a good series. The whole playoffs have been pretty good. It's been pretty fun so far.
With the other four, I'm just going to go with the actual top five that I believe go in there from this past week. So we start with I'm just really going in order of how these games happened. So we kind of start with the Stars-Avalanche game. Stars and Avs go 4-3 in overtime, game one. Jake Ottinger, 37 saves. That gets player of the game myself. I mean, man standing on his head.
Yeah, he's played very good. Last night's game, even though they lost 4-0, he still had an awesome game. He took 40-plus shots last night. So Colorado's just a really good team. It's the team I predicted to win the Stanley Cup. I put money on them to win the Stanley Cup, and they are a complete team. But I also figured this series was going to go probably 7 or 6 games because Dallas is technically the second best team in the Western Conference. So I figured this series was going to be one of the better series of the first round playoffs, if not the whole playoffs. This would be a really good playoff.
Yeah, definitely being one better of the Western series, because you got that one and then the Battle of Florida in the East. So, and then you got Washington Capitals and Montreal Canadiens also going in overtime. That they were the very first game to go, or I would say two teams to go into overtime in their series. Washington Capitals winning this game 3-2. I'm giving the player of the game to Alex Ovechkin with getting 2 goals and an assist. And he got that game winning goal there in overtime as well.
Yeah. No, that's the series that I figured might not be as close as the other ones. Canadians came home, took the first game, I think, two nights ago. So we'll see, because I think they play today. Canadians kind of have to win. If not, I think the Caps are going to win tonight and then win when they go back to Washington for game six or game five, and it'll kind of be a 4-1 series.
Oh, for sure. And honestly, I think so far the Canadians have given them somewhat of a challenge.
It's been good. Yeah.
I think it's just goaltending, really, for the Canadians is keeping them in the game, because the Capitals have been getting a lot of shots on net, and it's just pretty much outright just like you gotta get those points in the net for the Capitals, and they can capitalize at the end of the day. No, they can.
I mean, with my top five games, so I'll just go ahead and knock this out. Like, I have only one that wasn't really hockey that I had, and it was the Atlanta-Toronto series in baseball, and I had to go back and look it up because it was a week and a half ago. They played like 15 games since then, so I had to remember. Yeah. So, yeah, it was actually ended up being a good series. Atlanta took the first game, Toronto took the second game, and then Toronto took the third game, so they won the series. So it was a great series. But other than that, it was all of my actual top five games are all the hockey playoffs.
Yeah, that's literally what it's turned out to be for both of us at the end of the day.
Now just talking into hockey right now with them. So the one game that I put in there that I really like the series so far, even though it's the most lopsided series out of all of them, is the Toronto-Ottawa, the Battle of Ontario. Toronto leads 3-1 in this series, but, big but, the last three games they've played have all gone to overtime. So this series could literally be the complete opposite.
And I've got two of those in my top five as well, because I've got the Toronto Maple Leafs, Ottawa Senators going 3-2 in overtime, and last night's game with Ottawa and Toronto going in overtime again, but Ottawa wins 4-3 that time.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, that series alone has become somewhat of a surprise for, I think, a lot of people around the world, especially in Canada, because you thought Maple Leafs would just finally sweep the Senators last night, but they just couldn't pull it off.
I mean, arguably, that series is over. It's almost impossible to come back from 3-0 start. So, but it's been an awesome series because they've just literally gone to overtime. The series could be completely different, and it just isn't. Didn't work out Ottawa's way. So, yeah, I think Toronto's probably going to win the next game when they play at home. The Lightning-Panthers game's also been crazy exciting just for the fact of you had a guy thrown out, and then now Matthew Tkachuk with a really dirty hit last game could also get a suspension, and Tampa could easily just even this series out for the next game. So, I don't know.
And the interesting point is they're all away wins. Is Florida won in Tampa, and Tampa's one in Miami, really.
Quotational away games. They had to travel 8 hours away from each other.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy how that's working out for both of them. But at the end of the day, it's not really that much of an away game. Obviously, the fifth game that I haven't yet to cover was the New Jersey Devils-Carolina game going into two overtimes, the first double overtime game for the Stanley Cup series. Devils win 3-2. I'm giving Frederik Andersen player of the game, getting 37 saves, keeping the Hurricanes in that game. Like, he was just all night out. Like, we were sitting there at the bar just watching the game. We're just like, dude, watch this save.
Yeah,
he's just laying down and just catching the puck just out of the air.
Freddie was lights out, but yeah, I mean, it sucks that he played so well, but then the goal the New Jersey scores in overtime was not really a good goal. It was kind of a weak goal that Freddie let in. But on top of that, he still played an unbelievable. He's played great all series, and that's why they lead 2-1. Hopefully they can take this next game and go up 3-1 when they come back to Carolina to hopefully finish the series out.
No, I totally agree. Like, if the Carolina Hurricanes can definitely capitalize on their home wins, which they showed that stat.
Yeah,
and you pointed out that's just the craziest stat. 31 wins and like
9 losses or something like that at home. They were like 31-9 at home. That's insane.
So if they take advantage of all their home wins and keep it going here in the NHL playoffs, they'll definitely find themselves in the Eastern Conference Finals or at least Stanley Cup.
They'll have a tough one because they'll have more than likely they're probably going to have to rematch against the Capitals like the last 3 years they've been in the playoffs. But that's the one I want to, I think, get past that second round matchup and get to that the conference championship. That'll be a really fun series because more than likely it's either going to be Toronto or one of the Florida teams. So, yeah, it looks good. It's almost like a review of our brackets as we've gone so far.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because I had Jets, you had Jets.
Yep.
They're up 2-1 in that series. Probably going to clinch that series. They're really good. I had Avs, you had Avs against the Stars. That series tied now. And honestly, the last game they just played, Avs looked lights out. So I'm even more confident in the Avalanche. Golden Knights, that series is tied. We both took Golden Knights. And I think this is the one that we might lose on because I think we both took Edmonton in this one.
Yeah, and that's interesting how the Kings have started out, especially the whole harmonica fiasco that's been going on thanks to Bissonnette from TNT and, you know, spitting chiclets. Hey. Like, the dude's been trying to get the Kings on a winning streak.
I mean, they start 2-0, and then they go to Edmonton, and Edmonton beats them, like, I think, what was it? 7-5 or 7-4 or something like that.
It was 7-5. It was pretty even throughout the whole way. Like, yeah, you got that extra goal off of an empty netter, so it could have been
an easily high scoring overtime game.
You
betters out there, this is the one you circle for your over under game and go over.
Yeah,
because that game is just high scoring so far. But yeah, we both took the Oilers, so we're both looking good. So as we go, as we've seen them so far, would you like to make any changes in your picks?
I don't want to make any changes.
You still like the Jets. You still like Avs. You still like Golden Knights, and you still like Edmonton.
Yes, I still like these guys to still keep going. Yeah, I'm sticking with my guns here. I mean,
since we're not doing another episode until August, would you like to make any changes from there on? Let's say if the Jets. So you said everything's good in the first round of the West. If Jets play the Avs and you took the Avs just like I did,
yep.
Would you keep that one the same?
Yes, because I like the Avs over the Jets. I like the Avs even if the Blues somehow come back and beat the Jets. Like
I'm the same. I picked the Avs to win the Stanley Cup.
Honestly, the only if you have to make me like twist my arm and change, it would be Stars Avs that series itself, really. And I could see either of those two making it to the Western Conference. I really think that's the series that you got to look at.
Yeah,
of,
so it's the one that makes me nervous because it's the one that I picked to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, like that's the thing. Is like that out of those two teams, those are two of the strongest teams in the Western Conference. Now, you do have the Golden Knights to look out for and possibly the LA Kings. Like, if the LA Kings do beat the Oilers, they've gotten themselves over that hump of beating a team that's been there to the Stanley Cup.
Yep.
And they could get that role really going into the Western Conference
Finals.
So,
you had Golden Knights just like me in Edmonton. Yep. Are you still taking Edmonton over Golden Knights?
Yes.
Okay.
Honestly, like, because that's the thing is the Golden Knights – They're struggling against the Wild, and it's not a pretty struggle. Like it's like you gotta take your wins at the end of the day. But if the Wild do beat the Golden Knights, I'm definitely taking either the Oilers or the Kings over the Wild.
So you have Oilers still against the Avs. Would you change anything with the Avs and the Oilers in your finals?
I might actually take the Avs over the Oilers.
So that's where you switched.
If anything, like because like I said, like that series alone, I've kind of just like magnituded to that to the Stars Avs,
and that's interesting because
to come out of the West.
I know, really. I know. Out of the East, you're not going to change your champion. And you know who that team was. We'll get to them in a second. Actually, we'll go after once we get to the East. But yeah, I'm kind of the same. I don't think I would change anything. The only one that makes me nervous is the Kings. Basically, the bottom two: the Golden Knights and Wild series, and the Kings and Oilers series. But to me, out of the West, the winner's going to come from either the Jets, the Stars, or the Avalanche. I don't think the other four teams compete with those three up top.
Yeah.
So I'm going to keep all mine the same because it all looks fine. I could easily see Wild beating the Golden Knights, but Golden Knights just even the series up. And then now I think it's what, they go back home, or is it they're playing one more game? I forget how the hockey does it now. Is it still 2-2, 1-1-1?
It's still 2-1-1-1.
So they should be going back to Vegas for the next game.
Yep.
So, Yeah, so I'll stick with it because Vegas could take a 3-2 series lead right there and basically force the game seven if they need it. So yeah, I'm taking Avalanche all the way through. I've stuck with them, and I don't see any reason why we would change that. Now on the East, you took Toronto, I took Toronto. Obviously, yep. We're probably not changing that pick.
Probably not, but there's that scary what you if, know, the what if the yeah. Senators, you know, pull off the reverse sweep and they finally figure out how to beat the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I don't think they got it, and Toronto's such a good team. With Tampa and Florida, I think this is the picks. I mean, you differed.
Yeah,
I think I took Tampa and you took Florida.
No, I took Tampa.
Did I take Florida?
I don't know.
I can't remember if I took Florida.
I wrote mine down.
I didn't. I erased mine. Actually, no. I took a picture of it. Actually, here. Hold on.
You didn't even do.
No, I took a picture.
Playoff things for ESPN.
I took a picture of it.
Like you didn't
see.
There you go. He's got it. He's got it.
I took Tampa. So I took Toronto and Tampa.
There you go.
So, yeah, I almost want to change this one. If it was up to me, I want to change this one. I want to go with Florida. Florida looks a lot better than Tampa.
Yeah,
Tampa beat them pretty good this last game. But Florida's looked so much better than Tampa, honestly. And then now because they're still – this is their third game. So, they're 2-1 series lead for Florida. You already did one on the brackets.
Yeah. Because I had to do one for that and the NHL playoffs.
Now that they just played in.
This one definitely makes these freaking easier.
Oh yeah, it does.
You can see the whole picture right there.
The unfortunate thing with Tampa and Florida in this series is they got one more game in Florida. So, well, obviously all the games are in Florida, but they got one more game at the home stadium of the Florida Panthers. And if Florida Panthers win that and go up 3-1. Going into Tampa, see, he's got his all pulled up like that.
Yeah. See, that's a little bit of an easier picture to look at. I just draw my lines.
But, again, the Tampa Lightning and Florida Panthers, they have to play one more game at the Florida Panthers Stadium. Florida wins this game, they're up 3-1. To me, that series is almost over at that point. Tampa's got to win this next game. So I would switch my pick there. I'd be more nervous on that one with mine. I would almost take Florida over Tampa. Would you switch yours?
No.
You're still going with Tampa?
No. I got to stick to my guns and go with Tampa, and I got to make my friend Blaze happy, you know. I never really liked Florida Panthers.
To me, I'm picking
I just don't like the way that they play. I don't like their game.
The way they play. They're a playoff hockey team. They are physical and skilled.
I get it, but at the end of the day, you got to draw a line somewhere. And it's just
not in the playoffs. To me, I'm switching my pick. I'm taking Florida to face Toronto in the next round.
Okay.
Next one, Capitals Canadiens. I'm not changing.
Yeah, no.
Capitals look better than the Canadiens. They're a powerhouse. Sure. It's kind of almost an easy one to say no to. But, I mean, Montreal could come out and win today, and then that series is completely different now. Now it's 2-2. But I don't think.
But they're still going back to Washington.
Yeah, after that. They'll go back to Washington down or with the series tied, but. Yeah, I don't know. I think the Capitals are just a better team. Hurricanes, Devils, I'm not changing my pick. Hurricanes look like one of the better teams in the playoffs right now.
They're definitely giving the Devils a good, challenge to, their game. And honestly, like we just said, they could have won that game if Freddie didn't give up that easy goal.
They easily could have won that game.
And so this series could have been easily a 3-1
or 3-0 start.
Yeah, 3-0 start, but unfortunately.
I mean, Carolina wins tonight.
Yeah.
They go to Carolina. They don't lose at Carolina. So that's.
Yeah.
I mean, the stats back it up. They don't lose in Carolina, especially in the playoffs either.
Definitely can take that series
and
move on.
So we still have Hurricanes, Canadians, me and you both. We don't want to change. You obviously are going to keep the Hurricanes. I'm taking the Hurricanes over the Caps. I had Toronto against the Hurricanes in my finals, so I'm still taking Toronto to beat Florida. Would you take Toronto to beat, or you had Tampa, I think, to beat Toronto, didn't you?
Yes, I had Tampa Bay to beat the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I will not change that either.
Sticking with his guns.
Because honestly, if I do have to change, from Tampa to Florida, I still feel like
Florida team's better.
Yeah, one of the two teams is definitely better than the Maple Leafs, hands down, in my eyes. I don't think the Maple Leafs have it to beat either team, no matter what you say. I think it's gonna go seven games. Easily, Maple Leafs can make it that much.
But you know what? The problem is if you go seven games, where's game seven?
It's gonna be in Toronto. But that's right. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. These guys, like, it's
oh, it does. It does matter. When we talked about this last episode. It matters when it comes to home ice and the playoffs. It's crazy, like the Hurricanes.
Yep.
If you have to play game seven at Carolina, you might as well just, yeah, you're kind of screwed at that point, because that is a huge advantage. That's why I like Toronto, because they finally got that number one seed in the East. So if they do have to go to a game seven, they get the advantage of having to play in a tough environment in Canada. So yeah, I'm sticking with mine. I'm still keeping Carolina, Toronto, taking Toronto, I think is who I took.
Yep.
I got Toronto and Colorado, and I'm sticking with Colorado. And yep. You said you would switch now and go with Edmonton and Carolina.
Yep.
And that's what I was saying to you. The last time the Carolina Hurricanes won the Stanley Cup,
they played Edmonton.
And they beat Edmonton in the Stanley Cup. So yep. There you go.
Got to do a little bit of a repeat. Repeat the history books.
So, yeah. There's your kind of a playoff updates or recap so far in our updated predictions on it. We weren't even planning to do that, but it was just fun to do.
No, we were. I got it right there in the script.
Kind of talk about it, but...
No, we just kind of skipped ahead a little bit. It's fine.
Yeah, that's how we do it.
Before we get to our honorable mentions of the week.
We just talk.
And this, you know... So, I had an honorable mention to talk about, which was the Cincinnati Reds beat the Baltimore Orioles 24-2.
Yeah, that game was crazy.
That is like, what? Can we finally bring the 10-run rule into the MLB? Like, college baseball has this. I don't understand why the MLB doesn't have this. I understand that you want to, you know, put up runs and all that mess, but like just having 9 innings, I think I would want to go home. I'd be like, yeah, can we just go ahead and I feel say like this game is over,
I know,
please?
I guess I know they never will do it because of just money implications in Major League Baseball, but it's like they need a mercy rule. It's just kind of it gets dumb to a point because you just have position players coming in to pitch so they don't waste their own pitchers, so they don't care anymore.
Yeah.
But I understand the implications of it because they sell beer up to the seventh inning. They still sell food. And you got to
have
inning.
All your ads. And
you got your ads. Like, so they'll never happen, yeah. But it's kind of just dumb at that point. Or at least make like a rule change to like,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how you would change
the 10-run rule, right, for college baseball is they got to make it to the end of the seventh inning.
Yeah.
Up 10 points. You're only missing two more innings. Like, you're just shortening it two more innings. Like, you don't have to keep the salt in the wound, like keep grinding and playing, and
again, it's just the only thing that matters. It's the only thing difference in MLB. It's money. So your advertisements and how much money they make selling food, and it's harder.
Player of the game, I'm giving it to Noel V. Marte. He gets 3 hits, 7 RBIs. One of those hits was a grand slam, getting 4 of those 7 RBIs, and that happened in the top of the 8th. So, and just to keep, you know, like I said, put salt on the wound. It's like, geez, like they must have had like that position player pitching during that one hit, and you're just like, all right, I'm bringing Brian into this game. Oh, there it goes. Bye, ball.
See you, bye. It's gone. Now, my honorable mention. Oh, I just threw away my screen. My honorable mention was, again, back to hockey. I pretty much contrary in hockey. Is the Edmonton King in the LA series. It's because it's the series I didn't see how all the other ones are kind of flowing in the direction I figured they would kind of flow. This one was not. I did not expect LA to just basically win both games at home just like, and how they did it. It wasn't really close games per se. They kind of just were a better team than Edmonton. And it's the same thing Edmonton has faced the last, I don't know, three years in the playoffs, is they have no goalie. Their goalie is just terrible, and they have to score 6 goals to win games. But it's not the way I saw this game going, or these first 2 games. Well, now they've played 3, and Edmonton won 1. But I didn't see LA starting out 2-0 against Edmonton, so that's why I put that as my honorable mention.
No.
Then my upset of the week was how basically the same concept I was talking about with LA and Edmonton into the Minnesota Wild and Vegas series. I didn't see how that series would start out with Minnesota kind of just like dominating Vegas to begin the series. So that in general has been my upset of the week, is the fact that we're here going into game 5 of the NHL playoffs with this series and is tied. Didn't see that happening. I figured Vegas would win this in 5 or 6. They still can win it in 6, but I didn't think it would be this close. I thought Vegas would have been up like 2-0. They would be the ones going up 2-0.
Yeah.
Or 3-2, or basically it's the Wild having to come back on the Vegas, not Vegas having to come back on the Wild.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely interesting of how the Wild have been able to keep up with Vegas or even stay in front of Vegas and just, you know, dominate a little bit.
It's been fun to watch. The play has been awesome.
For sure. My upsets of the week, the one that I picked did not happen, which I was predicting the Detroit Red Wings to upset the Toronto Maple Leafs, but that didn't happen. But the actual upset of the week is still the Red Wings, but they beat the New Jersey Devils.
They did beat them.
So
yeah, they were winning games when it didn't matter. It was literally hurting them to win games. Why are you winning games when you're out of the playoffs at this point? You're hurting your draft stock.
See, this is why it's the upset of the week. Kyle's reaction.
You had your chance to win. And then you don't win when you needed to win, but then it's like, okay, now we'll win.
Okay, now we'll win.
When it's actually negatively hurting you to win.
And speaking of reactions, our gut reactions, probably both, playoffs are here. Go Pistons.
Playoffs have been awesome.
Go Pistons.
I don't watch the NBA, so I leave NBA talk to Alex.
So we already did the hockey talk, the NHL bracket, if you will. I did a little bit of the NBA playoff bracket just to entertain those who are into the NBA as well. This is the only time you'll ever get talking about the NBA, really. Like, it is the NBA playoffs. Like, I don't really pay attention to it. I work college basketball. I don't know. Kyle's probably about to punch me in the face for even wearing this shirt.
Stupid Florida. I have nothing against Florida.
Just a little bit of Merc. Like I told him, I was going to get some free Merc. We're going to start with the NBA East. I know all these series have started. I went in and I showed Kyle, like I did the ESPN bracket pick'em thing for both NHL and NBA. I went into NHL.com. I did the NHL playoff bracket there, which, like, I showed everybody who's watching on our YouTube how easy it is to look at it. I don't know why ESPN doesn't do it the same way. But, hey, look, I've already gotten one pick right, but I didn't predict it. I don't think – yeah, I picked Oklahoma City to go in 5, but they went in 4. All right, we're going to just start with that one. With the NBA West. So I'd pick OKC to win in 5, but they went in 4. So I'll take that as a W. I've got Denver to win in 6. Right now they're tied at
pace.
Yeah, so I'm on pace. And then I've got LA in 7 against the Timberwolves. They're down 2-1 in that series.
You're on pace for that.
I've got Houston to win in 6. And so kind of on pace for that one as well.
You might lose that one.
I might, yeah, because –
they got another game in Golden State now too.
Yeah, they got Golden State, and Golden State is just like that scary team. But I kind of like Houston in the West at the end of the day. Like, honestly, in my mind, if you have to ask me, like, you know, those same questions of like, if I had to change my mind, it would be that series is the Rockets Warriors, because the thing is like, I see either the Rockets or the Warriors really winning the West. The only other competition I see against them is the OKC Thunder or the Denver Nuggets. Like, those are the three teams. Like, you got Thunder, Nuggets, and then either Rockets or Warriors. Like, I don't like LA at all. Like, I will...
LeBron James?
Yeah, you got LeBron James, you got Luka, and it's just... No, thank you.
I don't even know who's on OKC anymore.
OKC has like 3 big guys. They're on every
Russell Westbrook.
No, they have those 3 guys that
Russell
are all
always
on the AT&T commercials. I can't Russell think of
Westbrook
any of their names.
Kevin Durant, like, are they still together?
No, unfortunately not. But I've got Denver to beat OKC in the second round, or the conference semifinals, as they call it. And then I've got Houston beating LA. So I've got Denver in 7, and then Houston in 6. And then I've got Houston over Denver in 7. I do like Denver, though. That's just the thing. Like I said, it's just like I could literally toss it up between the two teams, OKC and then Denver, and then whoever wins between the Rockets and the Warriors. Like, at the end of the day, it's going to be one of those three teams to be there in the NBA Finals. All right, and then we're going to go over to the East. So I've got Cleveland to win in six. They're up 3-0 in their series. They might win it in four.
Yeah, they might. They ain't going to six games, it looks like.
And then I've got the Milwaukee Bucks to win in seven over the Pacers. Right now they're down 2-1. And then I've got the home team, the Detroit Pistons, to win it in seven. I know with it going to game seven, it will be in New York, but I see that this series is going to go to seven games. Like, this is going to be a battle for both teams. And then I've got Boston winning it in five over the Orlando Magic. Moving on to the conference semifinals, I've got Cleveland to win in seven and then Boston winning it in seven. I believe Boston wins the East in six, and then I've got Boston over Houston for the finals for their championship. Basically, I've got Boston winning it all.
Boston over Houston.
Yeah. So those are my picks for the NBA finals there.
That sounds pretty good.
That sounds pretty good. I'm not going to say anything anymore.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't really add anything to that. LeBron James.
LeBron. Is LeBron playing good?
Luka Doncic.
All right. Moving on to our upcoming week now. Yeah. All right. So normally what we do with our upcoming week, we give y'all a top five games to watch. Since this is our last episode of season one and we won't be coming back to you till August for season two, we're covering basically 10 games to watch, or a few of them will be a series. Like, I've got some baseball series to watch between now and August. You know, these are just things that we're kind of looking forward to and what should be on y'all's radar for the upcoming weeks ahead, months ahead, till we come back to you. So I'll just kick things off and say, I'm putting all this stuff kind of in order. It's not really 1 to 10, like, you know, this is number one, this is number 10. So the first one on the list is the Battle of Florida that's going on right now in the NHL series. Obviously, we've kind of covered that a lot with Tampa Bay and Florida just battling it out to win the state of Florida and to continue their journey to the Stanley Cup. And then coming in at number two, obviously covered it as well, the Kings Oilers series is definitely a big series to watch here in the first round. Like, those are two of the first round series that are a big must watch right now. So I feel like covering those two definitely makes it, you know, worth a while, because I know these, like, are games that, you know, we can somewhat predict, because I've predicted, you know, Tampa Bay to win over Florida. Kyle's kind of agreed with me.
Well, not anymore.
Not anymore.
I changed my mind. I'm taking Florida now.
Taking Florida over Tampa Bay now. Yeah. And then I'm taking the Oilers over the Kings, even though that series has been pretty even throughout the whole series. Like, I mean, it's kind of crazy how the Kings have won it pretty handedly at home.
Yeah.
In LA. So the Oilers definitely have to take advantage and win at home. And I think if this goes to seven games, the Oilers will win over the Kings, as long as the Oilers can win at home.
Yeah. I agree with that. I'm still sticking with Edmonton, like you said. I think, like I said, that series kind of surprised me. So, and I liked Edmonton over the Kings to begin with, and they just won a game. They finally got over the schneid, and hopefully they just carry that momentum and Edmonton takes out the Kings. But yeah, I think the series is looking like a series that's about to go to seven. So it's definitely going to be one to watch.
All right. And then coming in at three, basically, is the Western Conference Finals for the NHL. We're both kind of indifferent of how this will end up. Honestly, if I have to do my gut prediction, I will say again, I believe it will be Edmonton and Colorado in the Western Conference Finals, and Edmonton will either beat Colorado or Colorado will beat Edmonton.
Yeah, we both agree. It's basically like the the playoffs in general are gonna be just fun watches.
Yeah.
I think we both had Edmonton and Colorado. So yeah.
Yeah.
We both had Edmonton and Colorado, but I took Colorado. I think Colorado's the best team. Them or the Jets. Honestly, that's gonna be the series to watch in my opinion. Out of the West is Jets playing Colorado if Colorado gets past Dallas.
Yeah.
That'll be an extremely fun series to watch.
And then coming at four for me, I got the Eastern Conference Finals for the NHL playoffs. Obviously, I've quoted and I'm sticking to my guns. I'm taking the Canes over the Lightning, and I believe this is going to be the matchup to watch if it does become the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, I believe I will be there, hopefully, with a good friend of mine.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. The Eastern Conference should be fun. We both have a different team in. Well, one's the same, one's different. I think either series would be fun to watch. Canes over Tampa or Canes over Toronto will both be really fun series to watch. So, yeah, we have a lot of good hockey coming forward in the near future here. So, it's something to definitely watch out for.
Yep. And then coming in hot at number five, have you caught on to the theme here? Yeah, we're going with the Stanley Cup championship at number five. Obviously, gonna stick to my guns again, and I'm calling for Canes over Oilers Stanley Cup final. And yeah, we're gonna say it's seven games, make it interesting.
Yeah, I like seven games too. And honestly, like I said multiple times, I have Avalanche winning it all, and I have Avalanche over Toronto. But I would even Avalanche over the Canes, like that both of any of those combinations would be just awesome hockey to watch. It'd be awesome to watch Avalanche versus the Hurricanes, just because Natchez is in her Avalanche now, so it's basically him playing against his old team earlier this year. So, I think the Stanley Cup's gonna be a fun Stanley Cup this year, especially if you get the right teams in it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. And coming in at six, I don't think Kyle's gonna agree with me on this one, but I'm just gonna say it's gonna be the NBA Finals. I believe. Sure. Like, I believe any NBA Finals is worth watching. I know, like I said, I don't pay attention to the NBA until it really comes to the, you know, playoffs, and then definitely when it comes to the NBA Finals. Like, the NBA Finals does get my attention almost every time, no matter who's playing. And, yeah, I will stick to my guns and say that Boston's going to win it all. I don't know who's going to come out of the West, but I am predicting Houston to come out of the West. But still, I'm going to just say Boston's going to win it all at the end of the day.
All right. Yeah. Sounds good to me. Should be a good watch.
All right. Moving on to number seven will be the PGA Championship. Definitely going to try and get myself into attendance because it's right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. So, going to try and get down there to Quail Hollow and watch that one live.
It'll be fun to watch.
It will be fun to watch, especially I believe my prediction is Bryson DeChambeau to win it all. He's had some good luck here in the state of North Carolina, especially winning the U.S. Open. But saying there in Quail Hollow, guess who's won twice there in Quail Hollow already?
Bryson DeChambeau.
No.
Tiger Woods.
Who won the Masters? I'll just help you out
Ricky
there.
Ricky Fowler.
Rory. Rory McIlroy has won the Wells Fargo Open twice there at Quail Hollow.
Rory McIlroy.
So Rory could easily win a second major in a row there at Quail Hollow.
I don't think he's going to have the drive like he has.
He just hit his career grand slam.
He doesn't need to win it anymore. Yeah,
I just thought it would be an interesting fact to put out there that he's won down there at Quail Hollow while it's been the Wells Fargo Open or Wells Fargo Championship. I can't remember what the title was. And, yeah, he's won it twice down there at Quail. So, with the PGA Championship just being there at that same course that he's won twice, you know, playing 4 days, he could easily win the PGA Championship. But, yeah, I'm still going to pick Bryson DeChambeau to win it.
I like it.
So
I wouldn't be mad at that.
All right, and then coming in at number eight, we've got some baseball. Some baseball. We've got a good rivalry series to look forward to. The New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox taking on each other. This is going to be happening June 6th through June 8th. And then again, June 13th through June 15th. I'm just going to put a way out there prediction and just say Yankees are going to win that series 4-2 with it being a six-game basically series between all those dates. So, yeah.
No, I like that. Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of good stuff in baseball that we'll be missing, so I'll definitely hit on some of that once we get through the last of yours. But yeah,
let me finish out. All right,
yeah, we'll just finish yours because I agree. I mean, because your last few are just baseball too. So
yeah, so last two here, I've got the Detroit Tigers taking on the Cleveland Guardians. That will happen here shortly in May. May 23rd to May 25th, and then again, not till July, July 4th through July 6th, and that's a seven-game, basically, series between those dates, and I'm just going to take Detroit to win over Cleveland 4-3 in that series, and I just, because I'm a homer, I'm just going to...
Detroit's been hot, and that's going to be a
and
good series.
And Scooball's going to pitch a perfect game.
Yeah, that's, and they've been good right now. They've been killing it. They had that little bit of a slow start, and they've just been on fire since then.
So, and yeah, that's just the rivalry coming out of me for that perfect game. I don't know if that's going to really happen, but that would be pretty cool. And then the final game, I've got the San Diego Padres and the LA Dodgers, just because, like, I really like how the Padres are playing this year. They're a really good team, and to play the championship team, the LA Dodgers, is going to be a series to watch. I mean, the Dodgers have been struggling a little bit lately, and the Padres are kind of in front of them there in the AL West. So this series is going to be a good one to watch. It's going to happen between June 9th and June 11th, and then again June 16th through June 19th.
And that division's tight too, so... Yeah, I mean, you've hit pretty much all the main ones. A couple things that... to add on to your list is College Baseball World Series.
Yep.
We'll be missing that. That's going to be, I think, middle of June-ish is usually when the College Baseball World Series is. So, always fun to watch. I don't know who's going to be in it. It's probably going to be a bunch of SEC and ACC teams like it always is. So, that's the kings of college baseball. Fun to watch. Even if you don't like baseball, the College Baseball World Series is just, it's fun baseball to watch. Kind of like if you don't watch hockey, NHL playoffs is just fun to watch. So we're missing that. The only other thing is basically still with MLB. Yeah, we're missing a lot of tight races that is probably going to come down to the wire when it comes down to baseball, which we'll actually be back up and running.
Yeah.
Before
all that. That's why I'm just like covering this part when we're not
we'll,
here.
We'll be missing the All-Star game. We'll be missing the Home Run Derby.
Oh, yeah, for
game.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, right now there's so many close races. Like with the AL East, you got New York, Boston, Toronto, even Tampa, they're all in there. Detroit, 17 wins. They're up basically two games on Cleveland. Like you said, the Detroit-Cleveland series is going to be huge. The Yankees-Red Sox series is going to be huge. Seattle and Texas series will be huge because they're both right there in their division. New York Mets seem to be kind of running away with their division, so you're arguably going to have them and the Phillies probably, and that's it from them. And the surprise of baseball to me so far has been this little guy right here in the NL Central. Chicago Cubs, 17-11.
Oh, yeah.
Lead all of baseball and run scored by 30.
That is crazy.
Run differential, plus 41. And guess who's in second place? He's always been in last place the last, 8 years. The Cincinnati Reds.
With that 24-2 win over the freaking Baltimore Orioles.
What if we come back and Cincinnati and Chicago are the two best teams in baseball? It'd be crazy. So we might be missing something fun to watch this year, and two teams that have just been traditionally not that good the last decade become really good again. And then you got the NLS powerhouse where you got the Giants, Padres, Dodgers killing it. And do you remember what I said when we started, when right before baseball started, and we had to project our...
When we had to do our postseason
projections. And what did I say? The team that we always forget about in baseball because it happens every freaking time.
The Giants.
I said, this is my sneaky team because every time they come in last place, no one talks about them. What happens the next year? They win the World Series. Look at them. They're 18-10. They're winning that division right now with a plus 27 run differential. It's crazy. I called that one.
I called that one.
So, yeah, there's a lot to watch for baseball. And Alex covered most of it, especially with hockey, baseball. We'll be back before the baseball season ends. So, and then, yeah, right when we come back, it's going to be getting right into college football and fantasy football season. And, yeah, we'll have a lot more fun things in plan for fantasy football, too, this coming up year. Yeah.
That, a big reason why we're taking this break is that way we can talk to each other and get some good plans together and figure out our scheduling and make sure that we bring y'all some good product for season two for sure. Because we've changed a lot. I'm sure if you tuned in this whole season
from
one,
start to finish,
like from start to finish, between almost every episode, we changed a little tweak here and there just to make things, you know, sound a little bit better.
And we might,
or make our conversations a little bit better with each other.
I haven't talked to Alex about this yet, but we might have interviews also in line for next season, because I have ends from NC State and previous NC State alum that played there that would be willing to come and talk and do a interview. So
there we go.
Might have some little bit different, maybe some interviews, but
I have been talking to him about let's try and get some guest speakers on here.
I have
some
future prospects that they've already agreed to say they would come in and do a quick talk with us, and we can talk about NC State football or just football in general, stuff like that. But other than that, yeah, we have cool things with fantasy. We have kind of like a fantasy competition we're going to do, but we won't spoil it until next season starts, but
he's gonna just kick my ass.
It's basically just a competition each week with fantasy football.
There's a spoiler for you. He's just gonna kick my ass.
You're basically gonna get a draft every week, and we're gonna have a competition with it. So that's something to look forward to with our fantasy. And that's pretty much, we're not going really into fantasy focus in this episode. It was mainly we're letting you know what we kind of plan to do. We'll do a bunch of mock drafts coming into basically, when we first start our first episode, we're going to do one mock draft to start. That's our fantasy focus. We're starting it off with a mock draft to start fantasy focus.
Just to get y'all looking at who to draft, who to keep, who you should not draft kind of thing.
And then after the first mock draft, we'll go into each episode is going to be like top, like kind of how we did to finish the season, top 10 players for each position that we would look to draft. And then right before the season starts, we'll do one final mock draft and compare the two mock drafts and see what differed, what changed our minds going into fantasy football season. So that's kind of what we got looking forward to with fantasy focus for next year.
So, and then just to finish it all off for me, I'm predicting the Padres to beat the Dodgers 4-3 in that series. And then my upset prediction is the Rockies White Sox series happening July 4th to July 6th, the two most abysmal programs in MLB. It doesn't matter who's good.
I don't know what's an upset. How's that an upset? They're terrible.
Exactly. It doesn't matter who wins. Somebody's gonna be upset after this series. Yeah, you got a 4-22 team versus a 7-20 team. So yeah, that's my upset prediction. That's why that's there. It's not really predicting a team to upset the other team. It's just going to happen no matter what. One team's going to just upset the other team no matter every game in this series.
Oh,
so.
Also, before we leave.
Well, we're not leaving.
Not leave, but leave that section. There is one more thing that could happen while, again, it won't be finalized till the end of the year. But one thing to watch is there is a player that has a possibility of a triple crown this year. His name's Aaron Judge.
Okay.
Aaron Judge has a .408 batting average right now through the first month. Leads baseball in batting average, is 3 home runs shy of the lead in home runs, and 1 RBI shy of the RBIs.
Okay.
So we might have a possibility of a
RBI.
Triple crown.
Triple crown watch.
Triple crown watch this year. So keep an eye on that. He might. I've never seen him bat .408 through a first month of baseball, and he's been on fire. So.
Yeah. It's the torpedo bats.
It's those torpedo bats. But he doesn't use them.
He doesn't use
them. He needs to switch and use
them. That's why I said that.
Yeah, he needs to use it. He needs to get his home runs up now. But yeah, he's batting .408. He leads all baseball in hits. This is crazy. We might get to see a triple crown winner out of him.
Seems like everything's starting to pay off for Aaron Judge now.
Yeah, he already broke the home run record in the American League. Now he can maybe win a triple crown.
All right. All right, moving on to some fantasy focus. We're just going to react a little bit to the NFL draft. Literally just, you know, giving our 2 cents of how we felt how that NFL draft went this past weekend. It's kind of why we delayed this episode. That way we could have this somewhat reaction, because obviously we're not going to be coming back to y'all till August, and that will be a little bit closer to the NFL season, and we will be able to see how all these, you know, spring trainings or summer, whatever they do. I don't know the NFL. He does.
Yeah, they just do it like OTAs and
yeah, all that stuff and
training camp,
and like we'll have a little bit of a reaction to that, especially with our mock drafts. And so, Cam Ward going first overall to the Titans, definitely a good pick for the Titans. They needed a quarterback, I felt, and I feel like he was a good fit for them.
Yeah, I think this was a weak quarterback class, so I don't think he's as good as the quarterbacks that were in it last year. He's the best one out of the list this year, so and Tennessee is quarterback. If I were Tennessee, I would have almost tried to trade out of this pick, get a lot more picks, and try to get, hopefully you can maybe get like Arch Manning next year. But all in all, I was fine with their pick. They got Cam Ward, best quarterback in this class. The other big name in this class is Travis Hunter.
Yep.
Goes to Jacksonville. Jacksonville got to that position because they traded with Cleveland, and Cleveland traded down, which I loved. I love Cleveland's choice in this.
Which everybody was ripping them apart for.
Yeah, and I...
Because everybody thinks Cleveland ruins the draft.
Yeah, but everybody wants the flashy player. We got to have the flashy guy, the good guy. He goes to Jacksonville and...
Well, I'll point out that...
Yeah, Travis Hunter could be a generational player.
I have a Cleveland Browns friend. He's a big fan of them, and... The one thing that he was saying going into this draft was he didn't want Travis Hunter on his team. He was like, I don't see the Browns wanting Travis Hunter. I don't want Travis Hunter on the team. I'm like, what? Well, Andrew, why? And he's like, I don't know who I want. I'm like, all right, well, you might have to trade your draft then. He's like, and look what happened. They traded down and they got pretty good pick. I mean, yeah, obviously, sorry, Cleveland, you had to get a Michigan guy, but I mean,
you got a Michigan guy, then you got another linebacker that's a stud. You got Ohio State's running back, fifth round. You get Shedeur Sanders in the fifth round. Like, who would have thought? It was like, you got arguably like the skill part of Shedeur is like that's not in question. It was the character question. You got one of the best quarterbacks in the draft in the fifth round. Like, you got basically a first, second round quality quarterback in the fifth round. How do you not win this draft? And you got arguably the third best tight end in this class with Harold Fannin Jr. That kid was insane this year. He broke. So Harold Fannin Jr. at Bowling Green, yes, he went to Bowling Green.
Yeah.
He was the season stat leader in all of college football this year in receptions and receiving yards. That includes receivers. He's a tight end. All of receiving yards, all of receptions, he led this year in all of college football. So you got him in the third round. I can't remember who you guys got in the fourth.
I don't think they had
a fourth round pick.
They didn't.
And then you took Shedeur in the fifth. So, yeah, you literally loaded up your defense right away. Guys that are going to help right away. You got Quinshon Judkins who's going to help you right away just because Nick Chubb's there and are not there anymore. So now you bolstered your running game up. Then you got a future quarterback possibly that could just turn into a stud for you guys. So, yeah, there's no question to me that Cleveland won the draft. And not only that, you got to look to next year. You guys got another first-round pick now. So now you have two first-round picks again next year. Because Jaguars gave you their first-round pick next year for that pick.
And that's definitely a good plus for sure.
That's why, to me, that's a win.
Good old rebuilding.
And to me, it's a win because I don't think Cleveland wanted Travis Hunter to begin with. Mm-mm. So I think their eyes were on Mason Graham-ish, that kind of player. So it's like, why don't we just trade... Go back four spots, get the same player we wanted to begin with, but now we get an extra second round pick and an extra first round pick next year. So it's like, that's a huge win for you guys. And then cherry on top, you get Shedeur in the fifth round. Like, weren't expecting that. Nope. I guarantee they were not expecting that.
All right. And then moving on to Ashton Jeanty, the other big name, going six overall to the Raiders.
Good old Raiders got themselves a future star.
I mean, they're going to be pretty good this year, especially with their tight end that we're talking about pretty much almost every week in and week out with Brock Bowers. Yep. I mean, and then they kind of loaded up too with their picks.
I liked them getting Ashton in the first. I loved Carolina's pick, even though Carolina really did need to kind of bolster their defense. I liked their attitude of trying to give Bryce Young more weapons with the best receiver in the draft.
Yeah.
So it fell to them. They got Ted Roy McMillan. The kid's a freak, and it's the right move. I mean, if you look at Cincinnati a few years ago when they needed offensive line, super bad for Joe Burrow, and what they do, they went and drafted Ja'Marr Chase instead. They took what they wanted to help Joe Burrow, so and it pays out. So like they bolstered the offense to help their young quarterback and then build the pieces around him after.
Yeah.
So, and that's kind of what Carolina did in this draft, but I did like that pick. That one stood out. Chicago taking Colson Loveland over Tyler Warren. Everyone was like, every commenter is freaking out. Like, well, Tyler Warren's so much better, but he wasn't better. If you ask any of the scouts or anybody watching college football, Colson Loveland played with a seventh grade quarterback basically all season. So,
yeah.
Couldn't throw the ball to him, and yet he still put up like 600 yards receiving. And he's done it his whole career. Tyler Warren was a one-hit wonder at Penn State this year. He was pretty good the year before and pretty good the year before. Colson Loveland was their best receiver for three straight years now.
Yeah.
It's not like this was just a flash in the pan. Colson Loveland is a freak. So I did like Colson Loveland over Tyler Warren. It was kind of here nor there. But I thought Colson Loveland was actually a lot better than Tyler Warren when it came to skill-wise at that position. So, to me, that was a big surprise. I didn't think Chicago was going to take them there, but they did.
All right, and moving down that little pick'em, we got Jackson Dart going to the New York Giants.
Trading into it.
Got trade up or trade down?
They traded up. They traded up to get them.
And I think this is a good pick for the Giants.
I liked it.
Especially with what they needed. They needed a quarterback. They needed to rebuild from their terrible choices that they've had in the past season.
And he was one of my favorite quarterbacks in this draft. I actually really like, I was high on Jackson Dart. I really liked his throwing ability. He has such a strong arm. And the only other big one in there in that first round to me was the Green Bay Packers finally draft a wide receiver in the first round.
Yeah.
Matthew Golden. 2002 was the last time we drafted a wide receiver in the first round. And that was Javon Walker. So yeah. They got themselves a superstar. That kid is really good, fast, big. He's going to be help them immediately. And it's a, and not only that, I think it was their second pick, too. Second or third round pick was also a wide receiver. No, second pick was the NC State offensive tackle. I think the third round pick, they took the TCU receiver that's a freak. So Green Bay took two receivers. Yeah, Savion Williams. He's a freak of a wide receiver. So they got two super good wide receivers in their first three picks. So yeah, I really did enjoy their draft this year compared to previous years. And then other than that, the only thing I really have on the draft was Big Ten and SEC dominated this draft by a landslide. SEC, where's my notes? I think SEC had 79 of the draft picks. Big Ten had 71. The next closest was the ACC with 47.
Jeez.
Yep.
That's crazy.
79 and 71 for the Big Ten and SEC. 47 was the next closest conference drafted players. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, definitely SEC dominated and Big Ten was
right behind them.
Right behind them.
Right there with them.
I mean, like that's definitely a big, big plus to see.
Yep. And yeah, that's kind of like all I guess, really all I got on the draft, unless you have anything else.
Got nothing else.
Do you like your
I just wanted to highlight the
Did you like your Lions
draft? Well, I'm good. I'm going to leave that for the homeward bound, because I got some things to review with both the Lions, the Packers, and the Panthers here for our homeward bound.
Yeah, we get to get into our quick section now.
Yep. Now we are on to the best portion of our segment is the gambling men. You must be 21 or older to gamble. Problems with the gambling helpline, please call the gambling helpline. 1-800-GAMBLING.
Yeah, don't take our advice.
Don't take our advice. We are not professionals. Anyways, all right, so I'm turning the three-leg parlay into four-leg futures. Like I said, we're going to look at some futures for y'all since we're going away for a while.
I did one bet, so this is how I always do my futures bets. how I do them.
So I've got Boston Celtics to win the finals. I locked that in at plus 235. Got the Carolina Hurricanes to win the Stanley Cup. Locked that in at plus 650. New York Yankees to win the World Series. Got that locked in at plus 800. And then the Detroit Lions to win the Super Bowl at plus 900. I know both those last two really will come after we get back to y'all with episode one and even later than that. But that total coming at plus 226,025. So I don't understand that number, but that's crazy. I just put $6 on it and it will pay me 13,000. So there you go.
This might be new to Alex doing these. I do these every year. I always pick a future, and if I lose one immediately, I put a new one in. I have one continually rolling, and this time I started with mine with Avalanche winning the NHL playoffs. I didn't put the odds on there. I think the Avalanche were like plus 950 from what I'm trying to remember. The Ravens to win the Super Bowl, I think that was around plus 900. Penn State to win college football playoffs, I think that also is around the plus 900 era. And then I took Dodgers to win the World Series, go back-to-back, and that was only like plus 250. But that gave me, with just those four, gave me a plus 236,000. So I put 10 bucks on it. I win. If I get that parlay and hit all of those futures, I got $23,000.
Nice, nice. All right, and then to throw it in there, my honorable mention is going back to Bryson DeChambeau to win the PGA Championship. That's sitting at plus 1,200 right now. I believe it's still sitting there at that same odds. So I really like that, especially with the PGA Championship just being within a month now.
It's fair. I like it. Like I said, I put one. I did one futures. We're not gonna be here to talk about if I make any other ones. I can go over.
Well, I will go back. You know, I'm gonna keep it there, and I will go back and look at it when we come back to y'all.
I'll give you one because I put one in the first
episode. So
I've been on a heater. Let's just say that I've won like $250 the last like 2 weeks.
So we are gonna get an honorable mention from Kyle here.
I'll give you an honorable mention since I did put one down this morning for tonight's games. Took Jets money line over St. Louis.
Okay.
Took Hurricanes money line over New Jersey. Capitals money line over Washington, or Capitals money line over Montreal, and Oilers money line over the Kings. $20 payout $209.
Nice.
That was a plus 948 on that one.
I like that. I like that. All right, and then I took a same game parlay earlier this morning. I've locked in with the Pistons and at the Knicks going on tonight. So right now, Cade Cunningham, I got him 30 or more points. Locked that in at plus 125. And then Dalen Duren to get a double-double, which he pretty much does that almost every game. Locked that in at negative 110. And then the Pistons to cover the 2-point spread.
I like that.
Over the Knicks. I mean, I think they're going to win.
Also, at that point, why wouldn't you just put the money line at that point?
Well, I mean, like, this one gets me more money.
The spread?
The spread does, actually.
Are they favored?
No, they're not. The Pistons are not favored.
How does that work? If you take the spread over the money line.
No, they got to cover it.
Plus 2.5?
Yeah.
Why would the...
They got covered.
How is the money line not better odds then?
Or they're... Wait,
they're favored.
They're not favored.
That doesn't make sense then.
They're not the favored team.
How can you be plus 2.5 and that be better odds than them just winning outright?
It doesn't make sense to me either. But
it don't make sense.
I swear. It was definitely more money for the spread.
Detroit's the favorite.
Oh, that's probably why.
They're minus 2.5. I was like, that makes no sense if they were given 2.5 points, but then that's better odds if they just went outright instead of given 2.5.
All right, so I was reading the spread wrong.
They're minus 2.5. They're favored by 2 points.
I was reading the spread wrong.
Yes, they're favored by 2 points.
Anyways.
But you are right. The spread is better odds than the money line because they are favored.
So, like that's why I saw that. I just saw the spread line was better odds. So, I got plus 55, and then $10 will pay me $65.
Yeah,
and like then I just got top three player props just kind of to watch for the playoffs here, the NHL playoffs going on. Obviously, all these are Western guys. So McDavid, anytime goal scorer, y'all might want to hit on that. Kempe anytime goal scorer because it seems like Stuart Skinner can't really even save a beach ball to save his life.
He got benched last game.
And then McKinnon for the Colorado Avalanche to get anytime goal scorer as well. Like, so those three guys, I'm giving them those top three player props of, you know, the for coming week or so until their team gets knocked out of the playoffs. So
I like it.
And then don't bet on college baseball till Omaha. That is my do not bet on. Just
or at least until the playoffs start.
Or well,
because the series, there's series that
they those series they get real iffy for me. Because
don't bet on the games, bet on the series. It's easier.
Well, you don't get a series until the Super Regionals.
Well, that's what I meant. Like wait till the Super Regionals, not the play in regional games, but the actual Super Regionals. That's when you should start betting on them. Don't listen to us, but that's when I would start betting on them.
Because the double headers or the double elimination games, they can get real iffy if you try and bet on those. You can bet. I would say you could bet on like hits or bases, really, or strikeouts for the pitchers. Other than that, don't bet on the outcomes. Don't do that
unless it's the big time favorite.
Well, yeah. But anywho. Bring it on home now.
Bring it home. Bring it on home. Bring it home. Okay. What are we talking about, Billy?
What are we talking about, Billy? All right. So, Homeward Bound. So, just kind of covering the bases of that draft again, if you want to bring that screen back up for us there, Kyle. The Lions receive a C-plus grade. So what we're going to look at is each team and their draft picks. And so I kind of liked how the Lions, you know, fared with their picks, getting a lot of defensive guys early.
You got an A-tier grade on Tyleek Williams from Ohio State.
So, but yeah. Yeah, we're getting a good defensive tackle, offensive guard. Got a wide receiver to help out. I mean, another guard, an edge, a safety, and then another wideout. I mean, I feel like just getting those positions alone. We got three guys from Georgia.
Yeah, he won Georgia heavy this time.
I mean, are we like, is Matthew Stafford like picking for us right now?
I mean, you guys did address what you needed in the draft. Defensive tackles, edges, offensive guards, and receivers, so... It wasn't like flashy picks. It's nothing that like stands out like, oh, I really, really like that one.
Yeah.
It's hard to do when you have a late pick like that. So it's what's the unfortunate thing of winning. You don't get the flashy players usually or just a crazy good pick. Yeah, I liked Ohio State defensive tackle. I thought he was probably the third best defensive tackle in the draft. Get him at the late first round. So he's a – to me, when it comes to drafts, when you have seven out of seven rounds – you want to have three guys out of that draft that are immediate helpers.
Yeah.
So that's what you got to look to like grade your draft. Tyleek Williams, absolutely. To me, he is a day one starter. And I do like your offensive guard. It is kind of hard to fill into offensive line right away, especially out of a second round pick. So to me, the guys that might have the immediate effect would probably be your receiver, one of the two receivers, and your defensive tackle. So now you just need one more out of there that can maybe fill in right away. I like your draft. Like I said, it wasn't flashy, but you guys addressed everything you needed in the draft, and hopefully it pans out. Like you never know when you draft a player out of college. If someone knew how that would work, then you just have one team that wins it all every year because they just make the best draft picks every year. So.
So you're saying we need a Connor Stallions on our.
Yeah, you need Connor Stallions to be over there to getting you the right picks. But no, I like it. I don't think it's anything crazy. I would have given you guys like a solid B.
Yeah.
Nothing better
than a C plus a little bit. All right. I'll take that.
I'll give you a better than a C plus because you guys addressed everything you needed in your draft.
All right.
Doesn't mean it's going to work out, but you addressed what you needed to do. Yeah. We'll go to Carolina.
Yep. Carolina receives also a C plus with their picks. According
I actually
to,
really
like
their
nope.
draft. I would,
yeah.
I'm going B plus.
B plus. Okay. Because these grades are from Mel Kiper that I just put into my script.
I don't
trust. Honestly.
I don't like Mel Kiper. Mel Kiper's blasting everyone for not drafting Shador, and then he goes out and says, these guys that do the scouting in the NFL know nothing about how to draft a quarterback, when this is the same guy that said Jimmy Clausen was going to be the best quarterback in NFL history. Johnny Manziel is going to be the game changer of all time in college football. He's got just a track list of people that he thought was the best quarterback in the draft. In the draft, not just a good quarterback, the best quarterback in the draft.
No.
That panned out to do nothing. So it just proves my point of you don't know until you just watch them play. So you could, on paper, look like you have the best team. Your draft should go off of what did you need to begin this draft, and did you accomplish it by getting at least a player of a decent caliber into that position? It might not work out, but you at least addressed it. What I'm seeing here, Carolina needed an edge, a safety, a corner, wide receiver, defensive tackle. They got 4 out of the 5.
Yeah.
To me, that's great. And the 4 out of the 5, you had wide receiver. The number one was the edge rushers. They drafted Teroy McMillan. I'm absolutely fine with that because he was, to me, the best receiver in the draft. Got him top 10 pick. Perfect. Helps your young quarterback. I have no problem with that. Was a need. Wasn't the dire need, but it was a need. Then your next two picks were edge rushers and good edge rushers. That was your number one need. So to me, that's perfect. That was a great draft for them, in my opinion. Then got a, not a necessity, but a great running back. And they drafted Trevor Etienne in the 4th round because he's one of the best running backs in this draft, and you got him in the 4th round, so you can't pass on that. Then you went and got Lathan Ransom from Ohio State safety, who's a really good safety. He turned it on this year. He was not really a big name until this year, and he was a stud for them by the end of the year. So, yeah, I mean, I love their draft. And then they went and got Jimmy Horn Jr., another legacy player from the NFL, just like a couple players they've drafted already before. Now, I feel like their draft was a really good draft.
Yeah.
B plus. I like their draft better than the Lions this year's.
Yeah.
Because of it's easier to say that because they have such higher picks. So obviously they should have a better draft than the Lions this year.
Because it's not a snake draft like fantasy football. No, it's, unfortunately.
They get the next high pick also in the next round. Yeah. So like they had pick 8. Pick 19 in the 2nd round, pick 13 in the 3rd round. Like, they had high picks.
Yeah.
So, no, I think they did great with what they had. Green Bay's.
That was a really good draft. They received a B from the guy, so.
I just look at what I'm seeing on here. What did they need?
They look
corners,
like,
offensive tackles, receivers, edge, defensive tackles.
And they got all it up. Yeah.
They addressed what they needed. And to me, they addressed what they needed the most with their first pick, and that was a game-change wide receiver. And he is. He was a top 4, I think, top 3 out of anybody that says who are the best wide receiver in the draft. Matthew Golden was in that list with them. So they got a top guy. They got a good guy. And you can get superstar receivers late in first-round picks. Look at Justin Jefferson. Like, look at these guys that go later in the picks. They can become good players. Yeah, they got a receiver. They got an offensive tackle, another receiver, and then defense. So they addressed everything they need. They had all 4 green. They hit every position they needed this year in this year's draft. So I'd go B+ also. To me, this is the best Green Bay draft they've had in years, like 2-3 years.
Yeah.
But, yeah. See, like, Carolina's got 4 out of the 5. I think you guys had 4 out of the 5.
Yeah, 4 out of 5.
We had all of them.
Yep.
Like, they addressed it. And I kind of am curious with, even though they're not part of Homeward Bound, I want to see what Cleveland got.
They're probably up there because it looks like that's an ABC order. Yeah.
I must have missed them right away.
Yep, there they are.
See, they only got 3 out of the 5.
Yeah.
But to me, they addressed what they got an extra pick, and they got an extra first-round pick next year. So,
yeah.
And they loaded up on defense and still got 2 quarterbacks. They got Shador and Dylan Gabriel. So, yeah. Cleveland, to me, won the draft just for the fact that they bolstered their defense, still got good quarterbacks, and got other good weapons for their quarterbacks.
Yep.
On top of another first round, a high pick next year.
So, yeah, to be able to reload for next year, for
you'll
sure.
You'll have 2 first round picks next year now.
Yeah, 2 first round picks.
See that, Tilly? That's 2 first round picks now.
All right. Moving on to the, well, I kind of reviewing Wolverines, 3 of them. Going in the first round.
Yeah, 3 going in the first. You
sticking
had,
with this draft here, you know. Going into the college talk that we normally do for our Homeward Bound, just still sticking to it.
Yeah, you got Mason Graham going to Michigan at the 5th pick. You had Colson Loveland going to the Bears with the 10th pick, and then you had Big Ken Grant going to the Dolphins with the 13th pick.
So, and then three
in the first round. Then you had Will Johnson going to Arizona, which was a steal for Arizona in the second round because he was a top receiver or top defensive back in the draft. And you were able to snag him with the 15th pick in the second round. That's huge. And then I think I can't remember where Josiah went. He went in the third round. I don't know why I'm blanking on it. I know Khalil Mullins went to Tennessee in the sixth round. Yeah, I don't know why I'm blanking on Josiah. I know Josiah went somewhere.
He went somewhere.
He went somewhere. And I
but you know what's round, so go back to the rounds and see.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. I just had you look at the teams that way when we talked about each team.
I believe Josiah went in the third round. I don't know why I'm blanking on it. Give me a second. There he is. Yeah, that's right. LA. He went to the Rams. Went to the Rams in the third round, and then you had, I want to say, fifth round was Tennessee Titans drafted Khalil Mullins. It was fifth or sixth round. But yeah, those were the draftees. Yeah. And then, like, right away, Donovan Edwards got picked up by, I think, like, the Jets. And then
someone, that was pretty cool.
Free agent.
He came out of the free agency.
And there was one more free agent for Michigan that left. We just didn't have a lot of people leaving this year, so that's why there wasn't that many draft eligible. Yeah. So we were a young team and a rebuilding team. So here's the next year.
Here's the next year for sure. Sticking to this year. Wolfpack Baseball, they're on a 7-game winning streak so far with sweeping Clemson this past weekend.
It's good. So, they need to keep winning
because
they have the talent to do it.
And then talking a little bit of golf there, Kyle, the Deeks, they're going to start the match play as the 7th seed, going to take on the 2 seed UNC Tar Heels in the ACC Men's Golf Championship. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Got some golf going on.
Got some golf going on.
Got some golf.
Yeah. That match play, the way that they do it, is definitely interesting to watch for sure. The way you can catch is going on to ACC Network or ESPN and then going into the ACC Network from there because it's an ESPN affiliate. And, yeah, watching this whole, like, series of how they play is pretty interesting because the last 2 days, it's still a 4-day tournament.
Yeah,
like for
they still do it like they do the pros.
Like they do the first. It's almost like watching either like the President's Cup or the Ryder Cup. You got everybody is participating in the first 2 days, and then they knock the field basically down in half, and then it's match play from then on. So it's just interesting of how
they compare to
everybody else. And, and literally that's how the NCAA tournament happens too. It's like you get your auto lock-ins from each conference that won their conference tournament. And then you have your at-larges and then they put them in a pool of 8 teams basically. And then they knock that from 8 teams to 4. And then you basically have your one team from there. And then they start match play from each pool, I think it's like 8 pools total. Okay. So,
yeah, that's interesting. That'd be a fun watch.
Yeah.
Especially if you want to watch some kind of different style of golf.
Yeah, I mean, they put it all on ESPNU.
Yeah, that'd be fun to
watch. All of it's on ESPNU.
Once
the NCAA tournament does start, that's when they put it on ESPNU.
Another thing to be added to the upcoming things to watch. Watch that.
Yeah. And then Tigers are looking really good, 17-10, recently winning a doubleheader against the Orioles yesterday. They got to play them again today. And then Yankees find themselves on top of the AL East right now.
Tied with the Red Sox. I think it'll be curious to see how the standings look now to when we come back for season 2. So I'll be curious to see what has changed and what the outcome looks like so far.
Okay. And then honestly, got to talk a little bit about hockey. Red Wings season is over, but the Canes are playing.
Yeah, Canes are winning. Maybe they'll win it.
Maybe they'll win the cup and bring the cup back to North Carolina. That'll be pretty cool. Pistons, they get their first postseason win since 2008. Man, oh man, that was a game though.
Back when Chauncey Billups was there.
Yeah, it was. good to watch. Good to watch them here in an hour or so. They're going to tip it off here in Detroit against the New York Knicks. And then, yeah, it should be a good series to watch.
Yeah, go Pistons. It'd be nice to see them surprise the world and win the NBA championship.
That would be a surprise to the world, but that's not going to happen.
What if the Pistons win the NBA championship, Tigers win the World Series, and the Red Wings just make the playoffs next year? Not win it, just make the playoffs.
And then the Lions win the Super Bowl.
And the Lions win the Super Bowl. Just see everything Detroit. And then Michigan wins the national championship again.
It's just everything's in Michigan.
Yep.
That'd be fun.
They win the basketball champion. Oh, my God. We have a big year ahead of us for Michigan sports now.
Yep. And then Wrexham, they earn the promotion. They win 3-0 yesterday, and they got the promotion to go to the Champions League. So they've done it. They've got one game to play still in League One, though. And then their season is completely over. They've already done all the celebrating. Rob and Ryan were out there celebrating with everybody, watching the big 3-0 win. And yeah, they've got that promotion in the bag.
That's good.
So, yeah.
Moving on up again.
Moving on up. Three times in a row.
Yeah.
Three times. That's
before you know it, they're gonna be
that is insane. Before 3 years in 3 years promotion.
Before you know it, they're just gonna be in the big leagues.
If they get that fourth one into the Premier League, that will be just, oh my goodness, mind boggling for almost everybody and anybody. But yeah, that will wrap up this episode of This and That Podcasting Podcast. We will see y'all back in August. We will bring y'all everything that has happened between now and then. Make sure you tune in and hear from us and what we will talk about during that time. I'm Alex Bauer.
I'm Kyle Davis. We'll see you next season.
Yeah, next season. Find us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Y'all have a great rest of your day. Have a good summer. You know, all that fun stuff.
Go sports.
Go sports.